The following is a sermon from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information and resources can be found online at parkchurch.org.
My name is Gary. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to say welcome to all of you. Thanks for being here today. We are even thinking about child dedications and thinking about these families stepping into a new season. We are, as a church, stepping into a new season, a new phase of a vision that we've been pursuing for the past year. And what we're doing today is trying to unpack a little bit of where we're at in that season, where we're at in this new phase as we step into a new time in our church. We'll talk about that a little more specifically about what that looks like. But I was thinking about this as a pastor, as a part of this community. I think there are seasons in your life, maybe if you're in a family, just growing up, or maybe you're in a family right now, where you hit those moments where you're about to enter into a season where there's going to be change. Change, and that change might be exciting. Sometimes it's disruptive. Let's say you're going to do a building project at the house, or you've got to move or relocate. You have that moment where you can like pull everybody together and be like, okay, we've been talking about this. We've been processing this. The rubber's about to meet the road. We're about to step into some disruption. And want to prepare us to walk through this together as a family. And we are, as a church, like I said, entering a new phase of this two-year vision. We're going to be talking about some updates around construction that's going to be happening in the building over the coming year, what that's going to look like for us. But our hope is, as we step into this as a community, to walk into it with a united sense of the why, the vision behind what we're doing, what God has been up to in our church, what God has been doing historically in this physical space, and how we get this really sweet privilege to participate in it. And so I want to acknowledge a few different kind of groups of people that would be in the room today. One, there are some of you that have been members for a long time, really connected to a lot of what we've been talking about over the past couple of years. We've been talking about a two-year vision. We launched this about a year ago, talking about these four strategic priorities. We'll talk more about them, about things we feel like God is calling us into in this next season. We've talked about some of our limitations we're experiencing in a staffing level, with funding, with our physical space in our building, and how we feel like God's calling us to address those. And so we launched this two-year vision about 2 years ago, and some of you have stayed pretty connected to what we're doing. I want to share some updates to you. Others, you've been around Park Church, but maybe not kind of like in like tight communication with what's been happening. So maybe you're vaguely familiar with something about this. Maybe you remember we had a series last year. We talked about Seek First the Kingdom of God. And what does it mean for us as a community to seek first God's kingdom as a community, to steward our moment? But you haven't been very connected to the updates along that. And so I want to reconnect you to where we're at as a community. And then others are newer to Park Church, where what we're talking about, a two-year vision, is totally new to you. And my hope today is to meet all of those kind of groups, wherever you're at, with your varying levels of connectedness to what we're doing, to bring us together into what we feel like God's calling us into this next season, why we feel like God's calling us into that, where it's coming from, and some practical updates about what that's going to mean in the coming months and really over the next year. And so I'm going to share a little bit of a biblical foundation for the way we see our church playing a part in what God's doing in the world. And then we're going to watch a video that tells a story of what God has done in this space, in this physical space, in this little corner of Denver, really over the past 100 years. God's been doing stuff in this space. We're part of that story. I'm going to share a little bit of that history, share a little bit of stories of what God has done in our own community, and some of how that brings us to a place where we feel like some important time to focus on some new priorities as a church, and what that's going to look like. And then after that video, we're going to do that through a video. Then Neil's going to get up and share some really kind of like on the ground updates about where we're at in that process, what that's going to look like, and how we can all lean in and engage together. And so what I want to do is unpack a little of this from God's word. I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, to open it up. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to move really quickly through about three observations as we make our way just through a few pieces of this and try to situate this moment for us as a community. So I'm going to read this. We'll pray, unpack a few observations, and then we're going to spend really the chunk of our time hearing the stories of what God's up to through the form of a video. So I'm going to read this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you need a pewback Bible, if you don't have a Bible at home, you can take one of those pewback Bibles with you. That's on page, I believe, 896 in your pewback Bible. This is 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to start in verse 5, go through verse 11. Here's what it says. This is the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let's take a moment and pray together. And Father, would you meet us this morning through your Spirit? Would you invite us to see the world the way you see it, to see you as a God on a mission to renew, to restore, to redeem, to transform this world, to bring healing and hope and life into the world? Jesus, we thank you for what you've done to meet us in our rebellion, in the ways that we've all wandered from you, that you would pursue us with compassion, that you would sacrifice your life for us, that you would shed your blood to atone for our rebellion, and that you would rise again on the third day, offering reconciliation to God, new life to all who would trust in you. We thank you for what you've been doing for the past 2,000 years throughout history, through local communities, through individuals, families, and churches that have sought your kingdom and sought to put your kingdom at the center of their lives. Would you this morning, through your Holy Spirit, would you renew in us a sense of vision for what you're calling us to do in this city? Would you give us a sense of gratitude for what we have received, the inheritance, the legacy that we have received? And would you give us vision beyond our own time? Vision beyond our own lives, beyond these walls, beyond this generation, to consider what you might call us to engage in, the work you might call us to do, to participate in what you're doing around this world, around this city, and for future generations. So pour out your Spirit among us. Help us to gain a vision for this life, a vision for this church that is congruent with what you want for us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. As I mentioned, I want to really unpack three different observations from this passage in 1 Corinthians. We're going to dive right into it for the sake of time. And I want you to see this on the screen. Here, we're going to look at a few pieces of these verses, verses 5 through 11. Really, all of 1 Corinthians 3 is dealing with this reality that the church in Corinth was struggling with some divisions. They were experiencing some divisiveness around different kinds of leaders. The Apostle Paul had started the church in Corinth. He had proclaimed the gospel, and the church had been started. He had ministered among them for some amount of time, and then he left to go plant other churches. Another leader came in, a guy named Apollos, and many people really appreciated the teaching of Apollos, but there began to be some divisions around who do you most align with? Who do you most appreciate? Areas where maybe the Apostle Paul and Apollos led in different ways, and so they're experiencing divisiveness, and some are saying, I follow Paul, and some are saying, I follow Apollos, and some are saying, well, I'm all about Peter, and some are saying, I'm all about Jesus. It doesn't need those leaders. And Paul speaks into that reality and saying, hey, that is the way of the world. I want to teach you a different way to view me, Paul saying, Paul and Apollos. I want you to understand how I view our own contribution to what God is doing in this world. And so he says this, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? We are servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted the church, began like a seed I put in the ground. I put the gospel, the good news of what Jesus had done for you in his death and his resurrection. I told you that good news. I planted that seed in your community, and it is creating life. And then I went on to plant that seed in other communities, and Apollos came in and just started watering that seed. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God is the one growing this. God is the one who is bringing new life through faith in Christ into the world. This is what God is doing. He's been doing this for 2,000 years, bringing new life to people, to communities, to families through faith in Christ. And so Paul's saying it's not about us, it's about what God is doing. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I'm going to talk about this for a few moments, but the first thing Paul is hoping that we see and that I hope we see from this is that God is building a people who reflect his glory in the world. God is doing that. When Jesus rose from the dead, we talked about this on Easter Sunday and then last week, it was like the beginning of new life. He was the first fruits of new life coming into a world that was under sin, cursed, and dead in sin. When Jesus died on the cross to bring atonement for that sin, he rose again on the third day, new life came up into the world. And now all who trust in him, who believe in him, that he died for our sins and rose again on the third day, become a part of that new harvest, like new plant growing up. And Paul is saying God is building this people. He's building a people. He's transforming lives through the gospel. And Paul understands that he participates in that. And what Paul says is, we have a part to play. I had a part to play in planting the church. Apollos had a part to play in watering the church. God's the one that gives the growth. And he says, we're doing that, but you are the field, the people that are believing and coming to life. You're like the field. And as soon as he says, you're like the field, this like harvest of new life, he like goes through this like, he's like this other metaphor. He's like, how do I shift gears here? Well, maybe I'll just do it very abruptly. You are God's field. God's building. And he does this like metaphor shift. I love metaphors. I often use metaphors like too much. My wife's like, can you just not use a metaphor? Because I feel like you could have said that very simply without a metaphor. I'm like, but I think in metaphors. Paul's thinking in a metaphor. You're God's field. Wait, you're God's building. And he's talking about God as like somebody who's like building this thing, a building, a project. And the foundation of that project, he says, is Jesus. And there are people contributing to that project, like Paul and Apollos and all the people that come after them. But that building isn't just like a general metaphor. It's a metaphor for the temple of God. Verse 16, he will say, you are God's temple. What God is building isn't a physical building. It's a people who are designed to reflect God's glory in the world. That's what the temple in the Old Testament stood for. It stood for God's presence among his people as a reflection of God's glory and presence in the world. And God's doing that. God's doing that right now through our community, the other communities that are faithful to Jesus around the city, around this nation, and around this world. God is building a people who are designed, as they experience the love of God in Christ, to come to life in Jesus and to reflect the glory of God's character, his love, his holiness, his righteousness in the world. God's doing that. He's doing that, and he's doing that through people. Paul says, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. I'm going to bring us into the next observation here. Look at this passage. He says this, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Paul understands that he has a part to play and other people have a part to play. And it's like he sees this like story, like a narrative that we all come in and play our part and we get to receive the fruitfulness of the generations that have gone before us and contribute to them for the generations to come. That he got to play a part, Apollos got to play a part. So the second observation is this, that we are building on the faithful work of those who came before us. We're building on the faithful work of those who came before us. In Denver, a lot of us come to the city and you've like left your family and extended family and relatives and kind of like your ancestors. And it can be really easy to feel like you as this like isolated story. But really at an individual level, at a biblical level, and at a corporate level as a church, we sit in a space, even right now physically, that was invested in and cared for by generations that have come before us. There are people that have invested in your life, that your life, in some ways, receives an inheritance from those who come before you and leaves a legacy for those who come after you. We are building on the faithful work of those who came before us. I want to show you this picture. You are physically sitting in a space right now that was built in 1952. You guys over there are sitting in a space that was built in 1922. You guys are way older. Like, you just feel the richness of the legacy over there. 1922, 1952, there's North Presbyterian Church with a vision to proclaim the gospel, to teach God's word, to make disciples. They came, they bought this property in around 1919. They put the plans together and officially launched in that space in 1922. That was a disruptive season for them. It took a lot of investment, engagement, as they thought about what God was calling them to in the city. They made disciples, were reaching people. As they reached people, the community began to grow. In 1952, they built this sanctuary because of what God was doing in their community to steward that and to be a resource for what God was going to do in and through their community for generations to come. In 1955, they then built more classrooms as kids' space and student space and adult education space was getting limited. They took disruptive seasons and they continued to contribute to it. And we see this as a season for us to be grateful for what has gone before us and to steward that faithfully for what comes after us. It is not about the building, but it is a ministry that God does in and through a building in a space in a city that we get to contribute to. when I interact with people, they're like, it's not about a building. It's not about a building. I'm like, I totally agree. It is about the glory of God through a people. But we're saying that in a building, that other people invested a lot of time and money and finances and disruption to afford us. And we're receiving that resource. And we have a part to play in what we think about handing off to the generations that come after us. That we have a part to play in this mission. The last thing I want us to see is that reality. What Paul says is let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our calling as a church is to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. We are praying that God would continue to work in and through us all over the city in this generation, but also that what we would leave behind, and I'm encouraging you to think like this because it's very unusual for Denver people in this generation to think like this, to think bigger than our generation, to think bigger than your life, to think about what God might want to do in us and through us across the city and for generations to come. He's inviting us to contribute to that. And what I want to share today through this, the form of this story is the story of where we're at, the priorities we feel like God's calling us into, where those come from, what God is doing right now. This is a longer video. I will tell you it's about a 30-minute video. This is unusual for us. It's unusual for us to do a video, but this video in a very compelling way tells a story of what God is up to, and it reminds us what God is calling us into. And that is not unusual for the people of God. Rehearsing the stories of what have gone before and reminding them of what God is calling them to is very common among the people of God. And my prayer for us is that God would guide us and move in power among us as we reflect on his faithfulness in the past and in the present. So watch this story together.
Hey, listener. It's pretty hard to show you a video over a podcast, but we'd love to invite you to parkchurch.org/vision to watch that video. It's right at the top of that page. Keep on listening for Neil's homily that followed up this video. Thanks for listening.
Can we thank everyone involved in producing that set of stories? And Loleen really wanted to be here. She's been here on a number of Sundays, but had a knee injury, so she wasn't able to come join us. But she may be back in the future. I just want to take a handful of minutes and give us some updates of where we are right now in this process of the two-year vision. So timeline-wise, we're almost 1 year in. So May 1st will mark 1 year in, halfway through. And on the building project side, we just signed with a general contractor this past Monday. We can celebrate that. In some ways, like, oh man, what have you been doing like the past 12 months? It took that long. It's wild how much. Some of you are like in that line of work, and so you understand. Work with the city, pulling a team together, different phases of architectural drawings, getting engineers in here. I mean, there's been a fair amount of work. It's just not all that visible, except for a handful of people. The visible work is about to begin, and so we're meeting this Thursday with our team, including the contractor. And we're going to get an exact timeline, but it looks like the visible work will begin in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And so I want to, given that inflection point, you know, we're kind of recasting the vision, giving the stories, like this is why we're doing what we're doing. Also want to give 4 invitations for us as a church family of how do we engage in this season. So first one is prayer. Now please pray actively for God to move and to bring spiritual renewal. And even the stories that we heard in the video, the stories that we have a front row seat in, each of us in our own lives, in our own gospel communities, just being a part of this church and elsewhere, we long for more of that. I mean, it's why we're doing what we're doing. We weren't just looking for some sort of, you know, we need a set of priorities or a vision or let's do something to the building. It's like, no, God has sent us on a mission. It's his mission, and we get to be a small part of that, and we long for more people to come to know Jesus. For those who maybe have history or baggage with the church to experience healing in unique ways through the community of love and grace they experience. We long for more of that. And so please pray that as a result of the ways we're leaning in and sacrificing and the disruption that's coming, there would be a genuine spiritual renewal that will flood throughout Denver and go to the nations as a result of our small investments here. Second, lean in with trust and grace as we navigate an exciting and disruptive season. It is going to be disruptive. So like the sanctuary is not really going to be touched by construction, but almost all the rest of the building will at some point, including that addition over on the alley side, the west side over there. And it just will be disruptive. Again, we're figuring out the timeline and what does it mean programmatically. And we're going to know in real time a lot of times. We're actually working on potentially having a way to text out updates with pictures and, hey, this is what this Sunday will look like, or, hey, here's what's going to be different this coming week. And we're asking that we shoulder the disruption as a church family with trust, with interest, with excitement, with leaning in with loads of grace. Because we're committed to leading through it as best we can and to communicate as effectively and clearly as we can. And it's going to take all of us and how we show up, how we ask questions, and come up with creative solutions. So that we do a fair amount of things in this building. It's a lot of the reason we're doing the building project to be able to enhance that and do more. Those things will not be able to happen in the same way many times, especially throughout the week. And so we're in conversation with different churches and meeting spaces right now up and down Federal, and Park Kids Club this summer is already partnered with Renewal Church over in 32nd and Irving, and so we're teaming up on that ministry this summer. But we're looking for more ways to do that. So if you're like, man, I got a living room or a family room or a basement or a backyard that I can maybe host things in, a ministry that you're a part of or whatever else, we would love to connect on that front. But then also we have a lot of things to move out of this building. It's amazing what can accumulate over time. And so some, you know, just belongs in the dumpster. That will happen too. But there are a lot of things like, no, we're going to repurpose this. Like, we're going to continue to use these things. We're looking for places to store things. So if you're like, man, I got a storage unit or a barn or like places I could like, you know, weatherproof sort of way store things, we're going to be sending out a clear ask in the next few weeks as we begin to move those things. Again, we want to do this as a church family. It's not like a group of leaders that are figuring this thing out. Like, we want to do this collectively. That leads into the third one, which is to lead others toward the vision to maintain unity and health. How we show up, how we communicate, how we ask questions, how we show up in different spaces, that affects how other people think about it as well. And so how are you stewarding your voice, your influence, your relationships in ways that are in line and really, really can breed more unity and strength through this season rather than diminish it? And then fourth, to consider what God might lead you to give financially toward this vision. Already, you know, so many of you have given sacrificially, financially toward what's going on in the vision. So we're almost 1 year into the two-year vision, so just under 50%, and we're just a hair over 50% of the financial giving toward it. So we're in a position with cash reserve, signing with the GC. We've also signed with a construction line of credit, just something that if we need to tap into throughout the project, we'll need to, but cash reserves currently allow us to get 5 months into the project before we would need to do that. But if our giving maintains from what it was the past year, then we may not need to, or not to need to as much. And so this is an invitation. Well, really, it's two things. One, gratitude. On behalf of the church, thank you. I mean, thank you for the ways that you've shown God's generous heart and the ways you've given financially. The commitment cards that many of you filled out over a year ago, the ways in which you've been consistently giving, we're really grateful on behalf of the church. And then second, maybe you're like, man, I've been thinking about that, or my financial position has changed, or maybe this is a way that I can engage further. We would encourage you to pray through. What would the Lord have you to give toward this vision in this season? It's an exciting place to be as a church family. And again, going back to what Gary was saying earlier, the foundation that we are seeking to build upon is Jesus himself. We have no interest in making the name of Park Church great, or, you know, just doing something because it makes us feel like we're accomplishing something. It's like, no, we've been trying to pay attention to the season that God has put us in, the resources available to us, even the location that we're in here at this corner of 37th and Federal. I mean, we got this property and the parking lot for under $1 million back in 2012. And to be situated here in proximity to the city, where so much foot traffic and in this neighborhood and just the ways in which Denver influences the entire metro area, God has called us here. And we're trying to make sense of that and leverage what he's given. And so we want to do that for the glory of God, so that more would come to know him and walk with him, to align our hearts, our values, the resources he's given to us to pursue what he's called us to, you know, where his heart is. So with that, I want to pray for us. Yeah, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, for your love. I thank you for calling us into a family, making us into a people where you dwell within us and around us, and you're for us by your Spirit. And so would you call us further in? May our hearts, our longings, our desires increasingly align with where your heart is. May we love what you love and the ways in which you love it. And I ask that we would do that in our individual lives. And I ask that we would do that collectively as a church community. So please give us wisdom. Give us opportunity. And would you work in the details of as the building project unfolds and the other aspects of the two-year vision? And we want to do this in really faithful ways that reflect your purposes in the world. And so would you help us toward that end? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now we're going to enter into a time of communion. So those of you serving communion, if you would, begin to come forward, grab the elements. But we come together as a church family doing this precisely because the foundation of our life together is in Christ. It's his work, his sacrifice, him laying down his life for us to bring us back to our Father, to our Creator God. If you're here and you're wrestling with the claims of Christianity, or and you've been around the church for a while, or part church, maybe this is your first Sunday, and it's like, I'm not sure what I think about Jesus, and you've not put your trust in him for salvation, we're so grateful that you're here. Like, for this to be an environment where you can engage with the Word of God, with the community of God's people, to ask questions, to relate in those ways, we want that kind of space for you. We do ask that you don't partake of communion, because this is a family meal. That those who have put their faith in Jesus, declaring not, I've got it all together and I've figured it out and I'm righteous enough. It's us declaring that we are not righteous enough, but that he is. That we are woefully insufficient. But his sufficiency, in his grace, he has come and provided his life for us. And so for all those who are in Christ, who put your faith in Jesus, no matter what you're carrying today, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, whatever guilt or shame may be there, whatever you're wrestling through, he invites you to the table. Jesus sees you in the particulars of your life, and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And so we're refreshed again, hearing those words spoken over us, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. This is what makes us into his family and forgives us of our sin and reunites us to the Father. So please come, eat, drink, and celebrate again the work of Jesus on our behalf. We have gluten-free and alcohol-free options in the front corners of the sanctuary.
Hey, thanks for listening. Park Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. More information and more resources can be found online at parkchurch.org. Take care.